Sport Kings podcast. This week's pod, we are handicapping four stakes from Woodbine on Saturday, August 15th, and also the Alabama from Saratoga. This is show number 77, August 14th, 2020. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, what's the word?
The word is I'm excited about races this weekend, and I'm actually starting to get excited about the Kentucky Derby. It's finally on the horizon, only a few weeks away. All the big preps are in, so good time to be a horse player.
Absolutely. And we have a special returning guest. He won the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, winning over $300,000 in cash and prizes. He hit a $1 million pick six on Hong Kong Racing. And he's the first guest we've had back for a third time. He's Tommy the Hammer Massis. Tommy, welcome back.
Good morning, guys. Great to be back. Now, I'll start off before we get into Woodbine talking about the Kentucky Derby. Do you guys think there's going to be a full gate?
I think so. I think there's connections that are dying to run in the Derby regardless of who the competition is and when the race is held. So I would be surprised if it's not a full field.
Okay, yeah, there's a Canadian horse. Yeah, there's a Canadian horse that wants to run in the Derby if it can, but you know, all it's got is a maiden win and an allowance win, so probably doesn't have the money. And a horse that belongs, in my opinion, Cheryl Spite. Roger Apfield's bringing her to Kentucky, and if he can't get in the Derby, he's going to race on, I think, the Pat Day Mile or something like that. Just thought I'd bring that up since you guys are all excited about the Derby.
I think that, you know, Chris is right. The connections, the Derby used to not have 20 horses every year. And now it does, because people just want to experience being an owner at the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs.
Yeah, and I guess it's too, you get into that competitive thing that you're 24th on the list, 23rd, and you get into a fight, and even though it's the comes to the point where you should get out of the fight, you kind of fought so long and you just stick with it, I guess.
Well, we're
let's get to the real racing.
yeah, we're going to do a Derby show. We're going to actually do an early Derby show that goes over every contender. I think September 1st or
yeah, 7th. I just threw in the Woodbine horse since we're talking about Woodbine. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Well, hopefully he'll make it on the contender list and we'll be able to assess his chances. So today we are doing we would do a pick five, but Woodbine doesn't have a late pick five for some reason. And maybe it has something to do with that Empire jackpot pick six that they have. I don't know, but
so the cross country stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're doing the 7th through 10th at Woodbine, and then we'll swing over to Saratoga for the Alabama. The 7th race is at Woodbine. It's the Bold Venture Stakes, a grade 3, 6.5 furlongs on synthetic, purse of $125,000 for 3-year-olds and up. And Tommy, why don't you guys start?
There's no pick five, and at the 25% pick five Woodbine offers, they can keep it, you know. And it is part of the elite pick six.
Yeah.
If you throw in the 6th race. Now, I think they hit it yesterday too.
Is that a jackpot bet?
Yeah. It starts in the 6th race.
Okay. So you can only win it.
Today.
You can only win the whole pot if you're the only person who has it.
And you play out of South Dakota. Yes, correct. Or Oregon, or wherever they play from.
Okay, so anyway, we know that in the multis, this may not be the best race to include.
Yeah,
what do you think is going to win?
Even if it was a pick five, do you want to start with a 1-9 shot or a 1-2 shot, 1-4 shot? That's like Pink Lloyd just lays over these horses that he's raced against. And if you want to do figs, well, you know, take off 10 points because he's just under wraps, geared down, right? The horse hasn't lost a race, you know, since 2018. And the only two races he lost, he basically dwelt at the start. You know, and you know, the only, you know, everyone's going to go, the wise guys are going to go to the U.S. horse shipping in. But, you know, he's going to be, Smart Remark's going to be 2-1. You want to take 2-1 against Pink Lloyd on a horse that's never been on synthetic and is 1-15 on the turf? You know, that's up to you guys. But to me, the whole seventh race, as in the words of Harvey Pack, I'm going to El Paso.
All right. Well, hey, you know, we can only handicap what we're offered. Chris, what did you think?
Yeah, no, it's just a race. He's a single in the pick four, pick three, whatever. If you want to, you know, a 1-5 single, and if you want to bet against a horse that basically has to get left in the gate or go sour to lose, that's up, you know, to me, it's just yuck looking at this race.
All right. Chris, do you have any more optimism about this race?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think Pink Lloyd, he lays over the local horses. I agree. But I think the two horses shipping in are definitely capable of beating him. And since he will be so heavily bet, I think there's a lot of value if you beat him. I think the 8-horse White Flag can beat him on this, you know, straight up. And he's getting 7 pounds in weight.
Yeah, both of them, I should have mentioned, both of them are going to be low odds, and they never raced on the synthetic.
Right.
I know they're turf horses, but I don't think there's a horse in New York on the dirt turf going a mile up from 5 furlongs to a mile that could beat Pink Lloyd. That's what I think about this horse. I think he's a freak of nature, and the trainer's doing him a disservice by keeping him in Canada. He's bred for the dirt as much as the turf. Great Gladiator was one of the greatest slop sires when he used to have those X's. I think it was 9 X's for a mud sire. You know, so that's what I think of Pink Lloyd. He can't lose. He's never lost on the up and up. And I don't think there's a horse anywhere that can warm him up, dirt or turf.
I think something can be said
about
him.
You want to bet against him?
Yeah, I think endurance, being able to run that well year after year after year, is partially because he is running on synthetic and it's not as punishing as dirt. So I think it's fine that they leave him up there.
Yeah, no, it is punishing in a different way. They get muscle things and all that. He's just a tough old horse. I know he's got a lot of issues that the trainer always states is why he keeps him at home, right? But man, this horse is a rocket ship, and like I, you know, put it this way: if he was in a Breeders' Cup Sprint, and it was sloppy, I bet every penny I had on him at any odds against anyone on the planet. That's what I think about him. So, but I, you know, having said that, I made one of my biggest scores betting against him, and it's the only time in his career he lost without something going totally wrong. Silva was just taking advantage of the fear of the other horses of going, sending them to the front every race. And he was in a race where there was a horse that goes 21-43, and he hooked that horse, and, you know, I had the stone closer at 20-1 just soup by them all, right? But that's the only one race he lost on the up and up, and even that wasn't on the up and up, getting fried into submission like that when, you know, the horse can come from dead last at 7. He can rate, you know, just a stupid jockey error. But the horse is basically unbeaten in his lifetime.
All right. Chris, did you have anything else?
I haven't really had a chance to weigh in yet.
Go ahead. I'll shut up.
I agree. He's a really nice horse, but he is giving 7 pounds, and he's not just getting to beat up on the local horses. He is going to have horses that have been facing much tougher fields than Pink Lloyd has. Now, Pink Lloyd may be really good, but I mean, White Flag has been chasing much quicker horses. The same with Smart Remark. And this race has no pace at all. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the 7-horse Smart Remark on the lead, or at least both of them very close to the lead. I wouldn't be surprised if either one gets the lead. They're not running against horses like Leinster and Totally Boss and World of Trouble. And these are horses that Smart Remarks, you know, finished second or third behind. And White Flag, definitely solid. Second off a layoff for Clement, who's really good stats, second off a layoff in turf sprints. So I think the 7 and 8 are both capable of beating the 4. I agree with Tommy, the 8 will probably get bet. But again, you know, a Pink Lloyd is 2 to 5. You're still getting value, especially in the horizontals, if you beat him. But Smart Remark isn't going to get bet. And I think Smart Remark, he runs bad races, but he's just not quick enough to run with those speed balls at 5.5 furlongs. But if you look at his races at 6.5 and 7 on either dirt or turf, which tells me he can run on synth, that shouldn't be a problem at all. He tends to stay more involved.
Yeah, it shouldn't, but it can be. I've seen horses that, you know, gravitate to one and despise the other.
Right, but he's run well on both dirt and turf, and synth is somewhere in between. So I don't think the surface is going to be a problem for him at all, and he'll be a big price. So I think Smart Remark is really interesting in here. He runs bad races, but he runs good ones too, especially at the longer distances. And he's going to be much closer to pace. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's not on the lead in this paceless field. And he can run well. I mean, he was second to World of Trouble last year. He was second to Totally Boss. He beat Leinster at Kentucky Downs going 6 furlongs. This horse can run good races. And now that he's not in against a bunch of speed balls in the real short sprint, I think he's going to wake up and run well. And I think White Flag's definitely going to run well. So Pink Lloyd's going to have his hands full. He's spotting those horses 7 pounds. And he may have to try to run past those late carrying that extra weight. So, you know, I have respect for him, but I think he's going to be overbet. And I think people, especially the local folks, are going to think he's unbeatable. And I think that he really isn't. Very, very few horses are. So I'm willing to take a shot against him in here.
Hey, I just want to make a comment about the pace scenario, right? If they race 4 furlongs, the same field 100 times, and Pink Lloyd didn't get left in the gate, he'd get the lead every time if he wanted to. If you pull up his lifetime PPs, he can go blazing to the front if he wants. So, and especially with Rafael Hernandez, who likes to be on the front on everything, you know, trust me, there's no one quicker out of the gate than Pink Lloyd in this race. He just races the way he races because he doesn't have to go to the front. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's 3 in front. He is the fastest horse out of the gate in here. If you look at his 12 lines, you don't see it, but knowing the horse lifetime, he's throttled back there. So, you know, from that day he got fried, that was it for that. He was going to the front every race, just wire to wire, wire to wire, unless he got left. You know, he does show a few times, you know, the last 12, 4 times he's had bad starts, so you're counting on a bad start, okay, but enough said about him. And I hope he loses every time. He just takes advantage of Ontario sired horses here, and I'm not a fan of the horse. He's a great horse, but I hope he loses every freaking time. Enough.
All right.
Okay.
So can I say something?
Maybe. Go ahead.
I agree with you. The Pink Lloyd he's a stone cold slam dunk winner in this race. I have twice gone against Pink Lloyd and been victorious both times. And it was in this race both times, when this race was in September on Woodbine Mile Day. Now it's earlier in the year and it's only his third race. And he's much better when he's fresh. You know, when he gets toward the end of the year, he's capable of throwing in a clunker. And I don't see that third off a layoff. He just looks totally plumb here. So I wouldn't try to beat him. If you're interested in an exacta, I'm interested in an Olympic Runner who is just to his inside. All his best races last year, were on synthetic sprinting. And he just ran a couple of turf races. One was 7.5 and the other was 7. He's not a turf horse. He's a synthetic. This is one of those horses that they should just leave up at Woodbine and be running on synthetic. And I think after this race, maybe they will do that. So I think Cold Exacta, he ran as well, you know, as good on the turf as he's ever run in his last two races. And now he's getting back to the surface that he likes. So Cold Exacta there. Smart Remark is 1 for 15. You can have it. I still don't want that horse even at 20-1. And White Flag, you know, yeah, he's got a shot. I mean, I'm not really going to bet this race. I mean, if anything, I would bet like a $20 Exacta Cold at most. And even that's probably not going to pay very much. So.
Just one thing on Olympic Runner. I disagree that he's better on synth than turf. His last two turf races have been good, and he's had real legitimate excuses. I mean, one was on soft going, and he didn't have the greatest trip, and the one off the bench was off the bench, and he had a terrible trip, and they were still, you know, very fast. So I think he's sitting on a good race, but I would like him on turf just as much as on synth. I think he's going to be the obvious from the local horses. He'll be the second choice, though. I don't think you'll get much value there, but I think he can run on both turf or dirt, and I think he will run well. I don't think he can beat Pink Lloyd, but certainly he's the best of the local horses.
Yeah, and I think the local handicappers will make the two Americans second and third choice. And as to Olympic Runner liking the synthetic or turf better here in Toronto, it's the synthetic likes him better than the turf likes him. It suits more his running style. And so it's not really, Scott, you both make right, perfect points, but it's not that Olympic Runner likes a synthetic better. It's better for him.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's 2 for 3 on synthetic. He's 0 for 5 on turf. I know those were good races.
Yeah, no, it plays to his style here, where the turf is a lot easier to win on the lead or stocking, where synthetic, you can make that big run and be successful here.
Okay, so let's move on to the next race, because I thought we were only going to spend like 3 minutes on that race. We do have 4 other races to go. So let's do the 8th race at Woodbine. It's the Plate Trial Stakes, 1 1/8 on synthetic, of course. Purse of $150,000. For 3-year-olds. And Chris, what did you think here?
Well, the favorite, I think, is strong in here. I mean, I know last time Tommy was on, he was saying this horse was a buzz horse and he's supposed to be really good. And he gets bet like he's good, and he looked really good in his last race. He won that pretty easy. So I think some people may try to beat him with the 6-horse Elusive Knight, who ran second to him in that last race. You know, maybe the 6-horse could turn the tables, but to me, Clayton looks pretty strong. The horse, I think, might be interesting. I don't know if good enough to beat Clayton, but maybe is the 2-horse Dotted Line, who chased the horse that Tommy mentioned when we were talking about the Derby, that Cheryl Spite. Horse kind of reared up at the gate last time and was way back, and it wants to be closer to the front, but it still ran pretty well. It made a little bit of a move, flattened out late. But that was second off a layoff, and it was improvement off the first off the layoff. And so I think here it's sitting on a good race. I think there's not much pace in this race. I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't rear up at the gate like it did last time. This horse doesn't go to the lead, and it just might be able to, you know, lead for a long time. I don't know if it can hold off Clayton, who's the other one that's likely to be up early, close to the pace, but from a value standpoint, I think most people will be beyond Clayton will be playing either the 4 or the 6. And I think, Dotted Line at 12-1 Morning Line, you might get that. And that seems to be the value. So I'd go with 2 Dotted Line.
All right. Dotted Line. Sire Signature Red is outstanding synth sire up there in Canada. Tommy, what did you think?
Yeah, I was just, at first glance, I was looking at the race, the pace scenario, and Clayton's a horse that, I even heard the trainer talking that he didn't think he could relax or race going a distance, and he kind of did last time. He was behind horses and he seemed to be relaxed, but as soon as that, you know, the rail opened up or whatever, his whole game, you know, he just took off, right? But the pace scenario, assuming he's going to sit, you know, I looked at Dotted Line first, but then when Dotted Line raced against Halo again, Halo again had the lead basically on him the whole race. So, you know, I'm looking at those two horses that they're both got to be thinking of going, right? And just for trip handicappers, just a note that Elusive Knight last time had a horrible start. And there was a lot of pace in that race. And Patrick Husbands, even though you can't, you know, I couldn't see it on the replays, but he has this little trick when he wants to take a horse way off the pace. And I don't know if it's because the trainer says don't and he wants to do it. He does this thing where he kind of rubs off the gate when it opens or hits his. I actually seen him once. He won a fake race with a speed ball that he actually kicked the side of the gate when it opened. And the horse came out last and they battled and he went right on by. So that could have been one of his, and it played to his advantage last time. You know, I had him tab, you know, on the trouble, but when I looked at it, he benefited from being way back there. So to think that he can turn the tricks on Clayton, not yet. Maybe when you know, Stubborn Frank lets it put the Lasix on into him, maybe. For now, you know, I'm not going to go against Clayton. He looks like a monster of all monsters sitting here. So, you know, he can get the lead at any distance, so they're not going to be too far from him. I can't go against him. To me, it's just like, you know, last time was a tough race, and, you know, I knew he'd be the favorite, but 4-5, you know, and I think they're just going to pound and pound them again. I think you're going to see I'm sure it's going to come in, but the will pay will be showing, you know, $3 payoff for a $2 double.
Well, I'm worried about him, but I'll tell you, I love Elusive Knight. I mean, I really, really like Elusive Knight. I'm going to put some big win money on this horse. And one of the reasons is he ran fast as a 2-year-old. And that he ran really well in his first time going two turns in the Display Stakes. And he was 4-5 and he got second. I believe it was a really speed favoring. It was a super speed favoring track. And it had a closer favorability rating of 1, which means like you had to be on the lead to win that one. So then he comes back and he has two races this year. Both good. And like in his last race, you know, I don't know about that trick, whatever, but I did notice this, you know, off a bit slow. And I noticed though, when he was coming around the turn, second turn, Husbands was like, he wasn't really riding the horse. You know, he had his hand with the whip in his left hand. He was just like waving it out. Like it was like straight out to his left. And he was just letting the horse go, right? It just looked really preppy to me. He whipped him a few times. He wasn't going to catch Clayton. And it just looked super preppy. Now, this horse is a definite contender for the Queen's Plate. So I don't know if they're going to try to win today. You know, they might try to make it preppy again. But
I agree.
Between the numbers and that prep and, you know, the trainer excels third off a layoff. He has a 234 lifetime ROI. By Go Zapper out of a Street Cry Mare. I'm putting some big win money on this horse, and then I have to back it up with, you know, an Exacta to cover it in case Clayton does pull it out because he looked pretty strong. But I think Elusive Knight is something special, and he just hasn't broken out yet. And I think this could be his breakout race.
Yeah, well, I agree 100%. That's kind of my point. When if I saw the Lasix there, right, I think they're pointing them not only to the plate and thereafter. So, you know, we're talking about betting them tomorrow, right? So.
Yeah, and you know, look, he's 5-1, but you don't know if Clayton's going to get hammered down to 2-5, and he turns out to be like 6-7-1. So I think he's playable.
Yeah, you know, he looks a lot like a Shaman's Ghost, that's for sure. seems to be the same type of progress. And then I can't remember when Charmin Goswami got LASIK. Pretty sure it was after the plate. And then became, you know, what he was.
Chris, did you have any additional thoughts?
No, just other than to me, I agree with everything you said about Elusive Knight, but if you compare him to Dotted Line to me looks just as good for this race, and you'll get three times the price. So, you know, to me, it's just a much better value there than you'll get with Elusive Knight. And Dotted Line might even float up to 20-1 by post time.
Same trainer.
That's my only comment.
Same trainer and same third off the layoff. I'm with you on Dotted Line. If I were to play any kind of multi-race bet, I would include Dotted Line for sure because, you know, he's just as fast as Clayton, at least based on his last race.
And did have an excuse in that race. So, and it has a win going two turns on the track as a two-year-old. So, and was chasing a really nice horse in that Sherrill Spite last time. So, I mean, to me, that horse just kind of obvious value. I don't know if it's good enough to beat Clayton, but I think it could beat Elusive Knight and the others in here. So.
I have a feeling that I'm going to be tweeting tomorrow. Congratulations on Derby 1592 for nailing Dotted Line in this race. You know, if he's 12-1, you make a pretty compelling argument.
Yeah, he's going to be double that.
All right,
just won't fall through the cracks on the betting board.
Okay. So, well, let's move to the ninth race. It's the King Edward Stakes, a Grade 2 mile on the turf. Purse of $175,000 for three-year-olds and up. Tommy, getting any value in this race?
You know, when you first look at this race, it looks like there's a ton of speed in here, right? And that's the first way I looked at it. And, you know, they all, Mr. Ritz has been on the front his last, I don't know how many races, Argentello, Silent Poet, Eskimizen has been close to the pace. Bone 6 and 7.5. Admiral Tapir has been on the lead. And, you know, what do you end up with as the closers? You end up with Delaware, the Delaware Destroyers in March to the Arch. But then, you know, you look at it again, the one ain't going to go. And then I think Patrick is going to do his little boot trick and take Mr. Ritz off the pace. And then I have a feeling they're gonna let Silent. I think this is gonna be like the races everyone's complaining about in New York on the turf. A ton of speed, and they're gonna go 25. And it's a race that at first was so, you know, clear to me that it was, you know, Delaware and March to the Arch. They're gonna get a perfect setup. And I know Patrick ain't gonna go. I know he ain't gonna go. He might even just go right to the back. And so the more I look at this pace scenario, and I can't bet Silent Poet, man, he's been so good, but I can't bet him because if somebody breathes on him at this distance, he's gonna crumble. So, you know, it's really, to me, a horrible betting card for me. You know, I keep coming up on chalks and you know, and in this race, having to, you know, the first two are like unbettable, and then this one, you got to hope the pace scenario comes in. If you know, it all depends on Mr. Ritz. What kind of a price do you guys think he'll be?
How much will people put on the Ritz? That is the question.
Yeah.
6-1 seems real. That seems sort of.
He's a nice horse. He's got good numbers, right? You know, and that's the thing, right? You know, he hasn't raced on the turf in a while, and it looks like he's a need to be on the lead horse, and he ain't going to get the lead. You know, it's like a horse that, you know, if you look at his last four races, you know, $1.30, 70 cents, $1.15, $2.30, you know, he gets bet every time. Is this the race where he's 6-7-1? I don't know. You guys tell me.
I'm not good enough to be able to predict the betting on this race. I think it's a pretty interesting field. What did you? Well, so is that your pick, Tommy? Just out of interest? before I.
Well, I don't know. Like, yeah, this is a race. I really don't know how it's going to get bet. I don't pay attention to morning lines, right? They mean nothing to me. And I really, I follow Woodbine, and Woodbine, you know, there's right as much as they're wrong, and horses get bet off the board for a reason and no reason. And it's a race that if I'm going to play this race, you know, as the first leg of something or just this race, yeah, the odds is going to be all important to this race because, you know, turf races and trying to get the pace scenario down. I don't know, but, you know.
Well, let's say that he's going to be 7-1. Now, will that?
Yeah, he's cold. He's cold. No, he's cold. I'll take a chance that Pat's going to take him off the pace and get him to run that way.
Okay. That's a scary. He's a scary horse. Chris, what did you think?
Well, I really, really like this race. This is my best race that we'll talk about, and I think there's no way that this will be a New York run turf race. This is a hot pace. I mean, even Mr. Ritz takes off. There's plenty of other speed. And to me, Silent Poet's a really bad favorite because at this distance, he's very vulnerable, especially with a hot pace. So, you know, I'm going to toss the 5 horse if it does go off as the 9-5 favorite. I think you get lots of value there. There's plenty of other speed, even if they don't send Mr. Ritz. So I do think it sets up for someone coming off the pace. And I do think everyone's going to go right to Delaware and March to the Arch. And I think both of those horses figure, and I will use them. But the horse I absolutely love in here is the 1 horse Dreammaker. I mean, this is the kind of horse that takes me about 10 seconds and I know I'm going to play. And he's second off a layoff as a 4-year-old. We've talked about this many times. He flashed talent as a 3-year-old in the early part of the year. That got him stuck on the Derby trail. That didn't work out so well. He was off for a year. And the thing about him is he was on the Derby trail. He's by Tappet, so they had to take a shot. And he ran well enough on the dirt. He wasn't good enough to compete with the best, but he wasn't that far behind. But this horse is meant for the turf. He is bred to run on the turf. His mother throws nothing but turf horses. The best turf horse she threw was the only other one that was out by Tappet, which was Dream Dancing. It was a Grade 1 stakes winner on the turf. So now he's second off a layoff. The first one was on the synth. It was a great prep. He's never been on the lead before, but he came out. He was eager. He kind of pulled the rider up to the front. It was a 1 1/8 after a 14-month layoff. He needed the race. The fact that he was eager and he was into the bit all the way around means he got a lot out of it. He's going to sit on a monster effort. Now he's finally on the turf where he should have been his entire career. And he draws the rail in a race where he should get a perfect stocking trip behind the speed. He should get the jump on those other two closers. I just think he can run a monster race in here. He's 20-1 on the morning line. I don't think you'll get 20-1, but you'll get a good price. And, you know, this horse is going to build my whole day around him. My betting at Woodbine will be starting with him and working my way out from there. So, 1, Dreammaker. That's my pod pick of the week.
All right. Well, that's a bold pick. And I have all kinds of things marked down for that horse, including the, you know, that
Stop
breeding. I just wonder why they haven't tried him on the turf. You know, he's a 4-year-old and they still haven't even tried him on the turf. So I wonder if they thought he wasn't going to be good on the turf. I don't know.
He was on the Derby trail and through his 3-year-old year. I mean, his last start before his prep this year was in May. On the Pat Day Mile. I mean, they were just trying him in the Triple Crown run, and then something went wrong. And now they brought him back and put him where he belongs. But I mean, everybody wants to win a Triple Crown race, especially if you're breed to Tappet. So, you know, they were going to give him a chance on the dirt, and he did well enough to where, you know, they kept him there. But now, you know, that Triple Crown's is in the rearview mirror, and now they've got him where he belongs. That's how I see it.
And the trainer, he's a half brother to Shoeless Joe Jackson. His name is Clueless Joe Jackson. Hey, trivia question. Who's the first horse, harness horse, to do a sub 2 minute mile?
I have no idea. Who was it? Dreammaker?
You got it. That's for all you harness, Canadian harness guys out there. That's what they're all saying. This is sacrilege, naming a thoroughbred after the great Dreammaker, William Robinson Train. I remember it was the first two-minute mile, and it was a big thing.
All right. Well, I like a horse a lot in here as well, and I respect Dreammaker, and I'll probably bet this race because I really love Admiralty Pier, and I shouldn't because that's when, you know, half the room moved past me in the NHC when they all picked Admiralty Pier. And I had people saying to me, like, just go with Admiralty Pier. But I read a little bit too much into his numbers and I decided not to. And then everybody moved forward with a 20-1 in that race.
It was either him or a maiden 20 from Tampa that was the other bomb. So how could you not?
Well, hey, I found a way not to do it. I was doing great in the NHC until that moment, and then it just crushed me. So anyway, yeah. I like him here a lot. He's always run very well on the turf before. If he even just matches his best number on the turf, I think he wins this race. And I love the prep. I love, you know, he's circling back to his top. That last race, I haven't watched the race yet, but it did get he gets upgraded from that race because he and Silent Poet were battling for the lead, and it was a closer favorability rating of like 92 or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I disagree on that. There was no movement. Sorry.
Oh, no. But, you know, this is where you have to start.
But there was no movement on the turf course that day, that especially. Maybe it's not the same thing, but.
I know it seems strange.
This is going back to, you know, these two horses are going to hook up again going a mile. And if Admiralty Pierce sits off of them, then it's going to be the New York race, right? The other horses aren't going to chase Silent Poet. That's the only one.
And if he does, he's in a really good position being on the outside there.
I agree with you. I think he's going to sit a length off of him and they're going to dilly-dally around the track. I'm not against the horse. Don't get me wrong. I think, you know, going back to the pace scenario, I can see this horse sitting a length off of Silent Poet instead of 23:45 on a course with no movement. What's the difference if they go 20:48, even if there is movement, right? That's the headache of this race. Like, I got two headaches now. You know, I hate to ramble on, right? One is the pace scenario, and then I'm going to spend the next two hours trying to figure out if I should bet Dreammaker or not, because Chris has got me. He's really intrigued me with this horse, right? Patrick Husbands rode him, went off of him. He finished fourth, even though it was off a layout. But now I want to see what Chris sees, because he's so adamant about a 25-1 shot. The hell with my plans. I'm going to see if I can see what he sees.
Yeah, well, I certainly will. I'm going to be playing this race and I will back up. I will use significantly. I will use Dreammaker just based on that potential upside. And that's one of Chris's strengths is picking first time turf horses that, you know, are older. And you're like, why haven't they tried them on turf yet? I think one example was that, who's that sprinter, Chris? You had like about 6 weeks ago, Kantaka. Anyway, so Chris, he gets these things right a lot. So I'm definitely going to cover myself there.
No, I'm with them. I got to see it for myself, but I'm going to look for it. That's for sure.
Yeah. So Admiralty Pier, I just think he's coming up to this race exactly right. It's the kind of thing where I just, the way I read the form pattern here, he's going to run the race of his life, and then, you know, he'll be a lower price in the Woodbine Mile and he'll react. That's just my feeling on it. I'm not worried about Silent Poet because he's never run fast going a mile or further. So I'm with Admiral T. Pier here. And I think March to the Arch and Delaware definitely have a shot. So I would definitely use those two in exotics, but I'd be focusing on Admiral T. Pier.
Okay, I'll just harp on one other thing, not about this race, but yesterday was the first day they raced in that rail position they're going to have today. So,
oh yeah, what's your angle on that?
I would just look at yesterday's and see how they've done. Yesterday, you know, was a speed, you know, really the only race on the poly that came off the pace where it was a 5.5-furlong race where they, you know, they went pretty fast and a horse I loved won, besides the point. You know, but just to see how yesterday that rail, I wasn't really, it's hard to do biases here with three surfaces, right? And they spread them out pretty good. But, you'd have to assume the inner part of the turf is going to be the most pristine part to run on. Having said that, it is a nice turf course. But just to put that into people's minds who look at those things, that rail's been in, you know, lane four for forever. And yesterday was the first day in lane one.
Okay, that's definitely an interesting.
Well, I like that.
I'll try to look that.
Yeah, I should have said it right off the hop, but it just came to me. So.
But that certainly won't hurt Dreammaker's chances. He'll be able to start right off on the, the cherry part of the turf course. So I like that.
Okay, well, it seems like we're done with that race. So let's go to the 10th. It's the Woodbine Oaks. It's a mile and eighth on synthetic, purse of $500,000 for three-year-old fillies. And I think it's Chris's turn. What did you think here, Chris?
I think on this one that you have to really like Curlin's Voyage. He or she is, had two nice preps. Spread to handle the distance. This is third off the layoff. You know, good connections. Just a lot to like about that horse. So I think that's definitely the horse to beat. That would be your A horse in any horizontal plays. The horse that I'm intrigued, but this is more of a stretch. It's not like I love the horse, but I think after Curlin's Voyage, it's pretty wide open. I think the favorite is kind of weak and making its first try on synth. So I like the 5-horse of Fleet Catherine as the horse with some upside. I think she's bred to go long, but she's won her only 2 starts sprinting at 7 furlongs on the turf. And now she goes to the synth and stretches out, which I think really will help her. The mare has been really productive. All the horses are pretty good runners. Few of them have been, better than others, but they're all pretty solid and they all like going longer, and she's by a Fleet Alex. And so, you know, third off a layoff, third start, sprint route, and bred to go long, 15-1 on the morning line. You know, that's a horse I'm interested in. I don't know if it's good enough to beat Curlin's Voyage, but I think maybe good enough to beat the rest of them. So the 5 of Fleet Catherine is the value play, I think, in this race.
The trainer going first route has a lifetime 2.67 ROI, $2.67 on a $2 bet. Tommy, where did you land here?
Yeah, the race just falls in Curlin's Voyage. Is, you know, it's her race to lose. You know, the pace scenario sets up for her. Everything per set. You see last year, 2 sprints, went long, come from way back, you know. I can't see this horse losing. And you know, everyone I talk to, we come up with the same second horse. A Fleet Catherine really beat nothing in those turf races, but was impressive all the same. You know, sat behind horses, weaved through, was kind of professional. And you know, at Woodbine, Kevin, you know, he's good at stretching horses out. You know, it is, you know, this is the type of horse, you know, at 3-1, going 2 turns on the synthetic, no. You know, at a good price. Yeah, you know, exactly what Chris said. We're exactly on the same page, you know, and besides that, I just hope the racist doesn't win this race.
Well, I have
a different
horse.
Owns horses in this race, and I hope he doesn't win, and I'll be happy.
Okay.
And we'll leave it at that.
All right. The horse that I'm going to be rooting for is, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it right. I wanted to watch a replay so I could get that pronunciation, but I'm going to guess it's Merveilleux. 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 The horse to me looks like a slam dunk. I mean, 4-1.
I got to interrupt you. Sorry, Scott. You sounded like something on a Monty Python skit there.
Yeah, I think Merveilleux, the translation, is racist, but my French ain't that good. Oh, yeah, let me add, just leave it alone. If he comes off the pace, might be there too, but continue.
Okay, so Merveilleux. it's like the word milieu. You can't say it without being aware of your pronunciation.
Merv for sure.
All right, Merv has improved every single race. Third off a layoff, and that's not necessarily one of this trainer's greatest assets, but he hits at 18% doing that. I'm a little concerned about the blinkers on, like, you know, why are they changing? But fair enough. I mean, at 4-1, I'm gonna have a bet on this horse because it's the numbers just say to me that it's a very healthy horse. And they would love to win 300,000 here. I mean, this is a strong pick for me. I think that, you know, I'm a little worried about a Fleet Catherine and Curlin's Voyage. I'm not so worried about. I don't. Just based on the numbers that I'm seeing, I'm just she doesn't look like she's as good as she was last year. I know it's only her third off a layoff, but I'm really not that worried about her. I love Merv. We'll say Merv for now.
Yeah, Merv, it looks a lot to me like the other horse you liked a few races back, that Elusive Knight, real similar.
Yeah, types. One of them is going to win, right? One of them, but which one? You got to bet on both and hope for the best.
Yeah, the blinkers on, that is a little bit strange to me on that horse. So, but yeah, it fits. There's no doubt about that. It fits in the race.
Yeah, I think after the form came out, I'm sure the trainer was cursing that he put the blinkers on. It looks like there's a ton of speed in here. So, yeah. Going to Curlin's Voyage, believe me. She trains for the big day, man. She gets a horse right up to these days. So, you know, numbers aside, you know, she's got a plan. You know, she's that old school trainer.
Yeah, she's hitting a 23% this meet, so got
to
respect
it.
It
looks to me, like they pointed to this race, and you know, all those first two races were just to get her, you know, in perfect condition for this race. I mean, there's no reason why they would sprint her other than just to kind of get her back into, you know, to top form and then stretch her out. So to me, she looks pretty solid and she did draw the rail. So, I mean, there's a lot to like. She's not invincible. It doesn't lay over the field, but it certainly looks like she's primed for a good effort.
I do like that, you know, the 7 furlong prep. Because when I was looking at my numbers initially, I didn't. So 6 to 7 furlongs and then winning a minor stake at 7 furlongs. That's pretty solid. So,
and it's also here at Woodbine. You know, if you want to run for stakes, restricted stakes, you know, the path is set, right? You have to run in the races they give you, right? So that's basically what that 7 is, whether it's the right step or not as a trainer, it's what they're laying in front of you. So it's where you got to go. And especially with trainers that have a bunch of, you know, good horses, right? So, you know, mm-hmm. It's not always where you want to go. It's where you have to go.
All right. Well, I think, you know, hopefully this whole card won't chalk out like you're afraid it will, Tommy. I think there's.
No, I don't care. I'll play it. To me, it doesn't matter because I'll try to hit the pick 400 times. You know, if that's what I come up with, right? Or I might not play at all. But I just want to know if there's, okay, so since there's another pick 4 starting in the 8, I just wanted to go over one horse in the last race. For trip handicappers, if you watch Muskoka Giant's last race, right, the horse got in all kinds of trouble. The guy who does the notes missed it. But having said that, I think the horse is blind. The horse just seems to, I don't know, it's cuckoo or blind or something. So I don't know what to do with the last race, but trip handicappers, the guys who read down the side of the program before they watch replays, well, look at Muskoka Giant's last race. And then having said that, you figure out if you still want to bet this horse.
Okay.
Because he does seem to, you know, even last year, he does seem to be shy around other horses, or he's looking around, or he's blind in his left eye or in his right eye. Seems to turn its head all the way to the right so you could see with his left eye. It's just watch his last race and you'll probably end up being on him, but be careful.
Well,
just
it's a good thing he's on the it's a good thing he's on the outside so he doesn't have to turn his head to see the horses inside.
No, it looks like last time it's the left eye that can see and he was trying to turn his head to, but you know, it was a race that he could have won with a clean trip. But you know, just because there's another pick four starting in the eighth race, right? So you know, after Pink Lloyd loses and everyone's out because of me, right, you can go on to the next one.
All right.
There's a horse, interesting horse in there that got bet in his debut. And he was making a big move. And then I think he clipped heels or something, but the horse went down and got back up and started running again. So I don't think he got hurt. But, you know, he had blazing fast works. He got bet. He had that major trouble. And it's a three horse Grazely. And, you know, now he's basically making his first start again. You can throw that last race out. And he's 8-1 in the morning line. I'm guessing he'll get bet because he got bet in his debut. But that horse is interesting if he does get overlooked, because he looked like he was really moving well before he got into trouble last time. And he was bet and he had the good workouts and stuff. So the three Grazely, especially if they do bet the 10 off the bad trips he had, the three is interesting in there.
Yeah, and that horse is just really find it. Red.
Yeah, Roger takes his time and then Lasix adds after a while, right? But this Hernandez jumping on a Doug O'Neill horse. I don't know what the hell Doug O'Neill came from. Is he in one? Is he training one of those horses in the Stakes that I didn't see? Or
I don't think so.
No, he's an Ontario bred. Okay, yeah. So that's why they buy him. Hernandez jumps on him over that horse, and there was no real buzz around Grazely last time. It was just like people were betting him because it's Roger Atfield and the leading riders on, and there's no one else to bet. You know, another trip note I give you, and I'm not saying to bet the horse. It's the one horse really didn't have a chance to race last time. I'm not keen on him.
Canadian
enough
Pharaoh.
Of this race. Let's go on.
All right, let's move over to Saratoga for the Alabama. It's a grade one. It's the ninth race at Saratoga. 1.25 miles on dirt. Purse of $500,000 for three-year-old fillies. Tommy, did you like this race?
I'm just trying to find my notebook. I've been sitting in the chair here. Hang on a sec. Yeah, you know, it's a race to the pace scenario. Here we go. So it's like, you know, when you look at for, you know, who's going to chase McPeak's horse, you know, you look at the other McPeak horse and, you know, Jose is not going to chase him, right? So you look at the pace, you know, I really want to bet against McPeak's horse, right? So I don't know how the pace scenario is going to be. But then when you look at Fletcher's horse, JR is going to be breathing on, what's the name of the skydiver? So I lost my notes, so I'm going off my... Yeah, I don't got the form with me. I'm out here at the barn, outside my barn at the racetrack. So, yeah, so it looks, if I had to play the race, the way out, my DNA is the bet closer. It's, you know, it looks like it sets up for Brad Cox's horse. But it's, you know, not really... I haven't really made a bet at Saratoga or anywhere else but Woodbine for a while, so looking at that race... You know, if I had to bet, I'd bet on Brad Cox and hope the two favorites hook each other.
You will get a price on Bonnie South. Chris, what did you think?
Well, the important thing about this race is it's 1.25 miles. this is sort of like the Belmont for fillies. They'll never run a mile and a quarter again unless they like running the Breeders' Cup Classic, and I don't think any of these will be doing that. So the distance is really a big deal. And Swiss Skydiver is not bred to go a mile and a quarter. And I think she'll get lots of pace pressure from the three-horse Crystal Ball. It's a Baffert-trained speedster. Baffert doesn't usually try to rate his speed horses, and Castellano's typically aggressive. So I think Swiss Skydiver is definitely a horse you play against. Given the distance and her breeding and the pace scenario, you know, I think Crystal Ball, the 3 and 5 Swiss Skydiver will hook up early. And I think this race just absolutely sets up for the 2-horse Spice Is Nice, the Pletcher horse that Tommy mentioned. Jay Velasquez will be able to just stalk those two. He can sit behind them, and then he'll move up 3 wide somewhere on the turn and go past them. And I think he can hold off the closers, although Bonnie South is kind of interesting. I'm with Tommy there. And in the 1-horse, Evon Tante is another, the other McPeak might be closing some, but to me, Spice Is Nice. Last race was awesome. This horse is royally bred, and bred to get the distance, and should get the perfect setup, and horse is going to run in the race of his life. So to me, Spice Is Nice is kind of a standout in here. Not great value, but I mean, if they hammer Swiss Skydiver to even money or less, you're getting some value there, especially in horizontal plays. So number 2, Spice Is Nice.
All right. Well, I want to watch that last race on Spice Is Nice. She has only one race at 2 turns, and it was a bad one. I want to watch that race because at 3-1, you're right. She has the potential to run a gangbuster race. The horse I landed on was the 6, Harvey's Little Goyle. Ran in her 3rd race. It was a stake at Aqueduct at 1 1/8 and ran a really big number. Now, Craig Milkowski on our pod said he questioned that number, and he was just, it wasn't that he's questioning anybody's figs. He's just questioning the track. He thought it was really tricky to make figures during that time at the beginning of the year at Aqueduct. So, but I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt in that she ran well. She won by 7 lengths in a minor stake. In her next race, she had some trouble, and then she wins on the turf, and she has some turf breeding. I mean, it's a Tappet mare out of Gloria S by American Pharoah. And another thing I like, you know, not only does she have a big number to go back to, but her best 5 furlong work ever happened in the last few weeks. And it was on the Saratoga training track, which is a slow track. So if you're running your best workout ever on the Saratoga training track, that means you're in pretty fine fettle. So I like her quite a bit. And pending the replay of Spice Is Nice, I could see a nice exact box there too as well.
Anything to add, Tommy?
No, sir. I'm with you guys. I think the 2 favorites will be close to the same price, and I think that you can throw up the race I has had on Pletcher's horse for no reason. It's the anomaly. And I think you're going to get JR given his perfect 3 wide stock and trip, and they go too fast. Maybe Cox's horse can suck up, but nah. Let me know who wins the race, or I'll have to watch your replays on Twitter because I won't be watching.
What do you guys think about Envutante? Because I'm interested in this horse. I like that last number and has a really nice workout, 47.2. Bullet on the training track. Do you guys have any feeling on that? Because I'm not sure. It's Uncle Mo out of a bluegrass cat mare.
If it wasn't another McPeak horse, you think that horse would be forwardly placed?
Probably. I need to
yeah,
bring.
Yeah, so you taking a horse right out of his game for, you know, because he's in with another right away. Big X. Ken McPeak, another ex, you know, like, well, what's he in the race for, right? Really?
Well, different owners.
I don't get it. I know. But, you know, I know owners. Tell me. I'm one of them. But, you know,
well,
I mean, like,
I think,
geez. Well, what happens if he breaks a rocket? Does Jose have to strangle him? Is he under orders to strangle him or go down? Does he go down? That's the stuff that bothers me, right?
Well, look, she has a win on the lead. She has one win on the lead, but two races ago, she came from off the pace, and that was a much better race for her. So,
yeah,
so
no, but when you're going a mile and a quarter, right, you're apt to be more, you know, closer than you usually are, right?
I don't know. I'm not expecting
because
a fast
can come
pace
off the pace at a mile and a quarter. I don't.
I keep on seeing slow paces when I watch these Saratoga races. They're always slower than I expect them to be.
Yeah, I know. But when you have two horses that look like the obvious ones, and they might play that cat and mouse game, crazy things happen, you know?
Well, that's why we love the
game. Are they
going to
sit? You know, yeah. No, are they going to sit? But you know, looking at pace scenarios, you know, I like to be more sure as I can of a pace scenario before I wager, right? And if I'm going to wager on a real big price, then okay, I'll risk. You know, I'll say, okay, so it might not fall my way, but it's worth it, right? But I don't know. Nice race to watch, I guess. I'll be watching the replays on Twitter, especially if there's an inquiry. I'll watch it 1,000 times.
Well,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just not as worried about the pace. You've got a Baffert horse in here, and so it's going to be quick. And Swiss Skydiver isn't going to rate. Not going to be odd. So they're going to go fast, and it's a mile and a quarter. And that's a neutralizer, even if they go a little slower than I think they will. So I'm not too worried about that at all. I think
I'm more concerned not about I'm not concerned about the quickness. I'm concerned about horses like the one and Pletcher's horse. Where are they going to be sitting? Are they going to be three lengths off? Are they going to be, you know, one of them on the outside of the other two and the other one crawling up their rears? You know what I mean? Like that's the part I don't get. Where are they going to be?
Yeah,
are they going to be three, four lengths off? I think there'll be a pack of four of them chasing each other.
No, there's no way. Spice is nice. Not going to be right up on those two. He'll be.
Well, look
stalking
at his races with JR. All of them, within a length or two off the pace. The whole race, every race, right?
Those.
I don't have the form in front of me, so.
Yeah, he's never been on the lead, and it's just the last race where they went really slow early that he was within a length of lead. So, you know, he'll be stalking the horses a couple lengths off the lead. He'll have that three wide move, but he's not going to be three wide stalking.
Johnny likes to sit on the outside. Johnny doesn't, you know, and I think that's the best trip in racing. Two horses battling and you're a length off in the three path. Best trip in racing. He's made $1 billion doing it. Right. And the thing is, if he's sitting a couple lengths off and they go crazy fractions, they're all going to fall apart. The front runners, the stalkers, unless the horse is something special, which she might be.
Yeah, well, Johnny V can read a racing form. So can Todd Pletcher. They're not going to be a length off a hot pace going a mile and a quarter. I absolutely guarantee you they won't.
The JR trip is the JR trip. It's just a matter of when he inches up there.
Yeah, and he will inch up at some point. But if they go fast.
Yeah, no. Just a matter of when, right?
Yeah.
And then, if one of them is loose, they play like, you know, whatever. Enough said about this.
All right. Well, any other plays that you guys saw that you liked?
Tommy?
Not I. Racetrack?
No, I haven't. I haven't looked at. I'm actually behind. I have to cut you guys off. I have to get to work here. Woodbine starting soon.
All right. Yeah, I don't. I only looked at one other race, and it's. I don't have a strong opinion. So that'll do it for me. You got anything else, Chris?
Well, just one horse I wanted to point out at Del Mar in the third race. There's a maiden special weight race, 5 furlongs on the turf. And we had a similar race on the pod a while back. And it was a horse I really liked named Highly Distorted, who was coming second off a layoff as a 4 or 5 year old. And in that same race, and he ended up winning, pretty impressively. And in the same race, there was a horse named Tilted Towers that I liked. He was coming off the bench because he had a lot of speed, and I thought he was, you know, the second horse in the race. Well, he got completely smacked around out of the gate and had no chance, but he actually finished up really well. And now he's coming back second off a layoff with that prep under his belt and with all that speed. And if he does break, you know, I think he could run a monster race. That he's the 8-horse Tilted Towers in the third at Del Mar. And he's 4-1 on the morning line. There's a bunch of first-time starters, which are always making nervous, especially one that's been working lights out and gets Flavian Pratt. But the good news about that is I think they might hammer that horse. And I think Tilted Towers, unless that horse is really good and, you know, really breaks well, Tilted Towers could still beat it. And you might actually get the 4 or 5 to 1 on him. And he drew the outside. So if he does kind of get some trouble this time, it maybe not won't kill him because he won't get shuffled way back. So the 8 Tilted Towers is real interesting in that third at Del Mar.
Okay. So a spot play from Chris there, Del Mar third, Tilted Towers. I'd like to thank our guest, Tommy the Hammer Massis. Thanks for handicapping with us, Tommy.
That was my pleasure. Anytime, guys.
All right. Fantastic.
Yeah. And Tommy, I want to thank you for helping out with the piece I wrote on playing the pick 5 too. You had a lot of great insights there. So I want to thank you again for helping out with that.
Anytime. Just remember, if you're going to catch me this early on a race day, right, I have 3 cups of coffee in me and I might as well have been on a crack pipe. I'll start rambling and talking so much.
All right. Well, let's, you know, it was a pleasure to hear you rambling. So that will conclude.
My pleasure as always, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Now that will conclude the show. that will conclude show number 77 of the Sport of Kings pod. Have a great weekend of handicapping and please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
I'll see you on Sport of Kings. Cheers.